Hello, and welcome to the Comic Book Page Podcast. My name is John Mayo, and I'll be your host. The segment you're about to hear originally ran as part of Comic Geek Speak episode 213, which was originally released on January 8th, 2007.
Live from Texas, it's John Mayo with the Mayo Report.
And before we get started with the Mayo Report, due to some inconsistencies and some confusion regarding the previous episode of the Mayo Report, we have a disclaimer here.
All numbers given are estimates and only estimates. To think otherwise would be foolish. The Diamond Order Index only goes to 2 decimal places and therefore introduces a level of inaccuracy in the estimates. There's a margin of error in the estimates which is equal to at least 1/100,000th of the estimate for the title, which is usually, but not always, Batman. Numbers are frequently rounded to the nearest hundred for convenience. Estimates given are for sales to retailers through Diamond Comics distribution for item invoice for the month in question. No information about how many copies may or may not have sold to readers is included or implied. Anywhere from 0% to 100% of the units shipped to retailers could still be sitting on the shelves gathering dust. All reorders should only be seen as indications that at least one retailer may have an excessive amount of shelf space and dust that needs collecting. The data from Diamond only contains data from Diamond. The list of the top 300 comics only contains the top 300 comics sold by Diamond to retailers for the month in question. More than 300 comics may have shipped during the month, and obviously not all of them will be included on the list of the top 300 comics for the month. No visibility into the sales or lack of sales of any comics not listed on the top 300 comics is included or implied. No information about the sales or lack of sales of any items sold outside the Diamond Comics distribution channel is included or implied. That information is considered to be outside of the scope of this report. Diamond is not, nor ever shall be, the entire comic book universe. This disclaimer will self-destruct in 5 seconds.
I'm curious to see what the problem was.
Welcome to the show, John.
Hi, how you guys doing?
We're good.
Very good.
I actually have a slightly updated version of that and a slowed down version.
I think it's hilarious. All right, so another month, some more numbers.
Oh, God.
Yeah. We got the numbers this time for November 2006. Let's start with, how about the market shares?
All right.
Well, once again, Civil War was back in action, so Marvel did really, really well. They had about 48% of the market by units. DC came in second with about 39.25%. Dark Horse had about 3.33%. Image with a little under 2.5%. And Dynamic with a little over 1.5%. And IDW also with a little over 1.5%. And this is just the top, the market share of the top 300 comics. So as you can tell, bit of a dichotomy there, or a difference between, you know, the top dogs and everybody else.
Yeah, it always seems to be.
Yeah. I liked it better when we had stronger middle-tier publishers and stuff, where they would be doing more in the, you know, 5 to 15% range. But, you know, these days, both with the amount that Marvel and DC are coming out with and the strength of the products they're coming out with, that just isn't happening. And, I mean, like, this month, Marvel came out with about 94 items, DC with about 97 items. So they're accounting for, you know, about, you know, a little under two-thirds of the top 300 comics right there.
That's crazy.
So, makes it a little hard to keep up with all this stuff.
All right, so what are we doing here?
Why don't we start by answering a question that Jamie had from last month?
All right.
He was asking about Black Panther 21, which was kind of a, I guess, a stealth issue of the Civil War tie-in. It wasn't originally given a trade dress as such, but when it was put back out there or whatever, it was given that. So he was wondering how the reorder activity on that was going to do. Well, it came in at rank 207 with 8,200 units in reorders, which is pretty strong. A lot of what we're seeing in reorder activity these days is due to things like Civil War. Some of the other reorder activity we had this month included the Civil War Choosing Sides, and Civil War number 2 and 3 both had strong reorders. Three had reorders to the tune of 21,300 units.
That's crazy. I can't believe it was still doing that. Those incredible numbers.
Yeah, yeah. Jeez. I'm just blown away by that. And that's really, really strong. I mean, those aren't reorder numbers. Those are new issue numbers. You know what I mean?
Exactly. That's why I can't even believe that.
Well, I mean, Civil War has been a clear success for Marvel. Just about any way you look at it, except in terms of, say, scheduling and timeliness. In terms of actual sales and fan response and retailer support and stuff, it's just been doing gangbusters. I mean, it's no surprise that the top item on the list this month is Civil War number 5, with 272,600 units, which is down around 7,800 units from the previous issue. But that's still nearly twice as well as the number 2 ranked item for the month, which is Justice League of America number 3, which had 140,900 units, which is still really, really strong, but a distant second to Civil War.
And that dropped 14,000 issues there, which is a decent chunk to drop.
It is. I think this one's still kind of, you know, finding its legs. It'll probably level out soon. It's a little hard to tell because they're doing a lot of, you know, the variant covers, retailer incentive type stuff on this, which, you know, I'm not a big fan of. I'm kind of expecting this title to level out and be one of the really strong, you know, DC titles, as it should be. But we're at least, you know, 5 to 6 months, if not a year out, from figuring out where it's really going to settle in at. But I'm seeing it on par potentially with New Avengers over at Marvel, which is their, you know, one of their strongest titles, and it came in this month at number 3 with 136,500 units, which is down about 200 from the previous issue.
Yeah, that's nothing.
Yeah, it's nothing. Yeah.
So again, that one's getting the support from the Civil War too.
Sure. I see that 52 is still above 100,000. It looks like, based on these attrition numbers, that, you know, by the end of 52, it'll be just under 100,000 copies sold for each issue, which is still an awesome sales total.
It's going to be interesting to see what happens, because it's, you know, it's right now, let's see, the last issue we have for the month was number 30, which had 102,600 units. So it's getting to where it's close to potentially dropping below 100,000, and it's still got, you know, 22 issues. So, but the rate of decline has really, really slowed down. But what we seem to have happen is every batch of 4 or 5 issues for a given month, the start of that's going to have a bit heavier of a decline than the other ones for the month.
Right.
And again, the retailers have, you know, an additional month's worth of information on how it's been selling for them and things of that nature. But, again, I would consider this a highly successful series.
Well, yeah, at the end of the run, they'll have sold over 5 million issues of 52. I mean, that's a hell of a lot of books.
And sales from the trades and whatever else they can spin out of this. So, yeah, you know, it's great. I'm happy that it's successful. It'll be interesting to see if they can replicate the success on this on future endeavors. I kind of doubt it, just because of the number of factors that I think are contributing to this level of success being very hard to duplicate. And you're not, I mean, we talked about this last month and stuff, you're not going to have a year carved out of continuity to play around in like this too often.
I'm looking down the list here. What's the deal? Why did Moon Knight jump up 9,000 copies?
Variant cover.
You think it was all
9,000? Well, 9, but yeah, that's the question. That many copies jumped over the bloody variant cover? I mean,
we're a bloodthirsty society.
Yes.
Or it's all because of Kevin, right?
Kevin bought 9,000 copies.
Yeah, I think Kevin finally caught up in listening to our stuff and realized, hey, it's not doing so well. He's got to invest. You know, no. I don't know.
See,
I
yes
was
to the spotlight.
Surprised it went up.
Yeah, because there's really no other. Well, there's a few other titles. That title jumped out at me is actually one of the few that raised it for no apparent reason that was other than the variant cover. Come, you had the Iron Man, I guess, was a Civil War. There was a Birds of Prey. It had 100 issue, but, I mean, that's 9,300 jump there.
Yeah, yeah, because I was looking earlier at the list at stuff that had, you know, noticeable increases, and I define that as, you know, greater than a 200-unit jump. Because below that, it can start to be just mathematical, you know, rounding issues and crap like that. Mm-hmm. And really, Moon Knight was the one that jumped out as the biggest increase that wasn't due to either Civil War, a magic number like issue 100, like you mentioned, with Birds of Prey, and Incredible Hulk also had that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I suppose it could be just solely on the strength of that variant cover. But
that's a huge jump there.
Yeah, yeah. We're talking, what, 9,300 unit jump based on just a variant cover? That seems higher than I would really expect on that.
What was the breakdown on that? Was it like one cover for every six regulars? Or do we know about that, the ratio?
I was thinking you could order whichever you wanted. I thought they had different order codes, item codes, but I would
for
have
Moon Knight?
To look.
For number, yeah, the Moon Knight number six.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was a totally separate comic for that bloody variant thing.
Oh, okay.
Because that thing cost $8.
No, it was cheaper than that. It was, I think, $5 or $6.
Oh, maybe $6.
But no, what was the cover price of it? Was it still regular cover price?
No, it was $6.
Yeah.
The cover price was $5.99 or whatever.
Really? Okay. I never saw one, so I couldn't.
That's right, I didn't loan you that one.
Okay, thanks. Huh. All right.
Well, I saw the cover in the Marvel previews, and that was good enough for me, you know? I felt like I spent quite a bit of money with that one.
You could have just cut it out of the Marvel previews and taped it onto your regular Moon Knight cover. And
great, now you've broken the entire variant cover market. The industry is going to collapse.
Chris, you deemer.
What are you doing? Now that's going to hurt me when I try to resell it on eBay a couple years after I get some signatures on it.
What else, John? What else worth talking about here?
Let's see. The other big game was, of course, Iron Man number 13, which finally had a Civil War tie-in. Mm-hmm. That went up from the previous issue, which did 36,300 units, to this issue, which did 76,800 units, which is a jump of 40,500 units, or about 111.5%. So, you know, that's always nice to see when, you know, one of the key players, you know, gets up to sync with this, you know, new crossover event that's only been going on, what, 6 months?
Well, that's something I actually want to ask you. But right before, from the time Civil War really started till now, how has the Iron Man book been selling? I mean, he's basically the two key players. Three key players in Civil War. He's one of them. So to have his book kind of be, you know, a dud, to me, I don't know.
Well, it wasn't so much a dud, just so much as delayed. It had gotten, you know, such a slow start. It launched around 69,000 units with the first issue. Quickly started to fall off. Seemed to be settling in down near the 36 to 40,000 range prior to this Civil War jump. It seemed to have, you know, cooled off pretty rapidly. You know, by issue 6, it was doing around 40,000, by issue 10, around 38,000. So, I mean, it would have been much better for that series if it had, you know, started doing the crossovers, you know.
Sooner.
Sooner,
So by not having, by Civil War going on, not having actually a Civil War crossover with the face for the registration, that really hurt the book, you would say?
I wouldn't say it hurt the book. It really depends how you want to look at it. In some respects, yes. In some respects, no. Obviously, having a Civil War crossover sooner and for a number of issues would help the book. I wouldn't say not having it hurt it, in so much as I would say that the titles, you know, it, had Civil War not happened for Marvel, titles would have gone along more or less how they had been going both before and after the Civil War bumps on a lot of these things. And this would have been a clear case that if it hadn't have been a Civil War tie-in, it probably would have done somewhere between, I'm going to guess, 35 to 36,000 units thereabouts. Maybe a little more, maybe a little less, depending on specifics. You can't really say that it would have been hurt by not having a Civil War thing. I don't look at the events that way, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Okay.
They're only an additive thing. They're never a subtractive kind of a thing. But the minute we start hitting events that start, you know, dropping in sales for a thing, that's going to be fun to watch. But it's one of those things that I suspect the minute that the issues are done with the Civil War crossover stuff, we're going to go right back down to more or less where it had been. So I see this, I guess, as a huge missed opportunity for Marvel. They have probably, I'm going to say easily, you know, 100,000 units worth of Iron Man sales they could have gotten over the last couple of months if they had simply, you know, gotten the book, you know, out on time earlier, way back when, and had been able to fully participate, in, you know, in the Civil War crossover stuff. So, does that answer the question?
Yes, it does. Thanks.
What else caught my eye here was your highlight of the Daredevil father and how many weeks late it has been.
Yeah.
That was a jarring.
It's 46 weeks late.
Yeah.
The sixth and, thank God, final issue. Now, I say that I'm not getting the thing. I wasn't going to get it to begin with. I just, you know, I don't think that the editor-in-chief ought to be spending his time, you know, drawing a comic. I don't think he's got the time to be doing it. I think that belief was kind of borne out by the timeliness of this series. And this is no knock against Quesada or anything of the sort. It's just being editor-in-chief is for Marvel in particular is a busy job. But, you know, this is 46 weeks late. And it came in off the item code from October of 2005. Why on earth was this not canceled and resolicited under a new item code to where it would be easier for everyone to, you know, get more accurate orders and stuff? This seems to go clearly against the, if it's over, you know, 3 months, it gets canceled policy that Diamond kind of sort of has in place.
Well, it also begs the question if, you know, we know you're a busy man, but can you draw one page a week and it wouldn't take 46 weeks to get out? I mean, you know, just do the math. It should only be half a year late, not, you know, not a full one. I mean, come on.
There is that. That's an excellent point. Well, the other thing is it's not just a question of how fast can he or can't he draw versus what he's got going on, et cetera. But why on earth did they solicit this before it was, you know, all set to go?
Right, clearly he hadn't even started it.
He was too busy with that murder thing in Las Vegas for CSI. That's a throwback to something we were talking about earlier.
Dying in the gutter.
Yes.
Oh, yep.
Yeah, see, he knows about it.
Of course I know about it.
Yeah,
I've commented on
exactly,
it in the last couple of segments I've done.
Matt's been asleep for the rest of the show.
No, yeah. I haven't been asleep.
You got anything else to add, Brian? Is that another question to go to then?
Oh, go ahead.
I talked about Mystery in Space the last time from 1 to 2, and here we have Tales, I guess it's like number 1, 4, I guess, Tales of the Unexpected, number 2, dropped almost 32%. You said it's a bigger than normal second issue drop. You said with 20% is the normal second issue drop?
Yeah, about 20% seems to be normal.
Okay. But, yeah, again, another just huge drop. And, again, it's a pretty good series. I'm just wondering, again, if the price point has anything to do with it. And I guess issue one also had a variant cover as well.
Yeah,
they had a Neil Adams
variant
cover.
Of the variant covers. But, yeah, I believe it did.
Okay.
But, yeah, I'm a little disappointed by how both, you know, Tales of the Unexpected and Mystery in Space have done. I think, I mean, for me, Mystery in Space is the one I'm enjoying more. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when I look at titles that launch, you know, not quite so strong at, you know, at least for a Marvel or DC title or whatnot. And this one, let's see, Tales of the Unexpected number one was 35,500 units, and then it dropped by over, you know, 31, almost 32%. Down to the 24,200. That's not a good place for a series to be starting, mm-hmm. but not an unsurprising place for a series to be starting these days either. Both because of the number of things coming out, the high profile, you know, event stuff like 52 and Civil War. It's just a rough time to be, you know, trying to boost sales on any comic or even, you know, tread water in sales. Yeah, I use 20% as kind of the benchmark for a standard second issue drop. And, you know, I've even gone and double-checked my math on that. Sure enough, on average, everything that does drop between 1 and 2, it averages out to about 20%. Obviously, some things, you know, don't drop that much or drop more. And I didn't include things that didn't drop between issues 1 and 2, and there were actually a few cases of that, although not very many.
John, you have the Marvel Handbook highlighted here. I was wondering why you had highlighted that.
Oh,
for the title, for one thing.
Yeah, I love those titles. basically, let's see. This is one that I hate because it's just such a damn long title. I mean, you know, 50 characters long. I've only got so much room in my spreadsheet. Mm-hmm. Come on.
Just put Ohatmu.
But it's not Ohatmu. It's Anuahatmu.
Yeah.
Anuahatmu. And then you got to get the A to Z in there. It doesn't roll off the tongue as well as Ohatmu.
Yeah, but it's all Ohatmu. Come on.
Yeah. It's actually down about 5,000 from where it started, which, you know, isn't too bad. But I'm surprised because, I mean, you go into the series knowing what you're going to get.
Right, yeah. There's not like it's not like the story gets disappointing halfway through. I mean...
Yeah, it's not like, oh, wow, you know, the plot twist, I didn't see that coming and I hate it or something, you know? It's like, what the hell?
I think people just need to trim the fat and they go, I guess I don't really need to be buying this or whatever, you know? And
or they're figuring it's going to hit a trade or something like that.
Yeah, or, you know, halfway through, 12 issues suddenly seems like a long time. And you do the math of what that costs at $4 a pop and you realize, oh.
But did they already solicit a new...
Well, it's like the update. There's going to be four issues in 2007. It's going to be a quarterly update, you know. So, yeah, I stopped buying. I didn't buy the updates. I haven't enough of that.
Oh, I love these kinds of things. But I figured that the audience or the readership that was going to get it would be pretty stable. And, you know, 20, 21, 22% drop from number 1 to number 11 was much bigger than I had expected. I figured by around issue 4, it more or less would have leveled out. So,
another thing I wanted to ask you about was there are two issues of American Virgin this month, and you have them both highlighted, and it's a Vertigo title. I'm wondering why you picked that one.
Well, what I did this month is I started going through more or less, you know, alphabetically, working my way down the list, trying to see if I could get, you know, comments on everything, and quickly realized about, you know, 10% in that there ain't no way in hell that was going to happen. So this, I think, was one of the ones I picked up on that. This title is seeing a steady drop off. There's, you know, about a 700 unit drop between these. And, you know, even for, because this is a Vertigo title, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Even for a Vertigo title, once you start hitting around the 10,000 unit mark, and this is, let's see, number 9 came in at 10,600. You're starting to get into the question of, are the trades going to be enough to continue justifying this series? Has it just not found its audience yet? You know, where's it at on that? And, you know, it gets, you know, decent reviews and word of mouth and stuff on the net, it seems like. But, you know, number 9 came in only about 200 units above Mouse Guard. And, of course, we're talking wildly different, you know, content here and stuff, yet sales-wise, not that far off the mark, which I find, you know, kind of interesting.
Yet below that is Exterminators with an even 10,000 copies. And I can't even believe that. And Exterminators is so good, I don't know what people are thinking.
I don't know, because, you know, I'll see stuff like that, and again, we're down with the Exterminators is at rank 190 on the list. It's there are a couple of DC ones that are lower than that, but not a whole lot. And you're at the point where, for a company the size of DC, you know, you've got a certain level of overhead between, you know, the editors, the production staff, you know, that sort of thing, that, you know, it's hard for these things to be profitable and stuff, I would think. Again, not having worked at DC, I can't say that with any certainty. And certainly for things like both American Virgin, Exterminators, a few other titles, you know, again, in the Vertigo area, these are going to skew more heavily towards trades. Some of these are going to do better overseas than other titles will. I mean, there are a lot of factors that will come into play.
It could be big. That Vertigo stuff might be big bookstore sales, because a lot of people outside of the comics world read those, and so maybe they sell a lot to Borders, and that keeps them afloat, too. I don't know.
I've heard it does these sorts of things, Vertigo, you know, in general, tend to do well both in bookstores and over in the UK, and the UK figures are not factored in on this.
Yeah, so those, that's true. After all the trades come out and everything, it could be, you know, could see the equivalent of another, you know, 10 to 15,000 copies or whatever, you know.
Or at least enough to justify, you know, keeping doing the monthly periodical version to keep getting the content for the trades.
Right, exactly.
To justify it.
Well, I mean, personally, I certainly hope that both of those series are successful. I read the first trade of American Virgin and really dug it, so...
The one that really surprised me in terms of, wow, those sales are pretty low, was down at 228, and that's next from DC. That's issue number 5, which came in with 7,000 units.
What is that? I'm not familiar with that title.
Well, I think that partially explains why it's selling so well. That is a mini-series written by Tad Williams, who I believe is going to take over writing Aquaman, Sword of Atlantis. And
does he write novels?
I think so, but I think he's maybe doing fantasy novels.
Yeah, I thought that. Okay,
but he sure shouldn't have done this miniseries. I mean, I'm a completist. I will completely cop to that. No two ways about it. And I'm a big DC fan.
Mm-hmm.
Now there are very few comics I draw. In terms of mainstream DC Universe titles. Even fewer that are miniseries, and man, I dropped this one like a hot potato after issue 3. and I'm curious how low issue 6 is going to go in sales. I'm expecting it to be maybe 6,000 or something.
Wow.
And it's... The art didn't work for me. The story didn't work for me. And based on these numbers, man, I'm thinking I'm not the only one. and you know, it was. I think of a nice way to put this. It really should not have had Superman in it. It probably should have been a Vertigo title. But we're talking a series that the first issue started around 22,700 units, dropped to 15,800 with the second. Dropped further to 10,600 with the third, and then 8,000 with four, and then all the way down to this 7,000 with number 5.
Hey, let's just put it in perspective here. Spider-Man and Power Pack sold more issues than next.
Hey, don't go dissing Spider-Man and Power Pack.
Sonic the Hedgehog sold more copies.
Don't go dissing Sonic the Hedgehog either.
How about Zombies Eclipse of the Undead?
Okay, I'll give you that.
All right.
but it's funny that Sonic the Hedgehog did outdo it, not just in general, but strictly within the direct market. Because Sonic is something that will do better outside the direct market, both because it's Archie and because it's aimed for kids and is more of a mass market kind of a property. So for it to outdo next is kind of funny. Like, ouch, that just hurts. But not everything can be successful. Not everything's going to come out of the gate, you know, going gangbusters, and not everything's going to work for everybody. And again, we're in a very competitive marketplace.
Is the final issue of that next already solicited?
Oh, yeah. It
probably is already out.
It probably came out in December.
Okay, because I was just looking through previews to see how far along they are to kind of get an idea of what
six
the book's
issue,
about.
I think it's a six-issue miniseries, right?
Yeah.
All right, how about one?
I would describe it better, but that would have required me to understand what the hell was going on.
I've heard that about that series. I got the issues at the Wild Pig sale for like a dollar or even less than that. I think it was 50 cents I got them for, so I haven't read them yet. Now I'm not sure I'm going to. Thank you, John.
No, by all means, read it. Maybe it'll work for you better than it did for me. There's going to be aspects of what I read, what I like, which is strictly my taste in comics. And that's neither good, bad, nor indifferent. There should be comics out there for everybody, and hopefully there is a huge audience for this particular one.
Yes.
I think there obviously didn't seem to find it. But, you know, hey, that happens.
All right, John, how about one last one?
Let's see. One last one. Let me see what would be a good one to talk about.
I like your comment here for the All New Adam.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're getting close to where, you know, this one's still dropping, but, you know, they're going to bring in Mike Norton. Hopefully that'll, you know, save the book.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm really looking forward to next month's numbers to see if the Mike Norton campaign worked and if it can go up even by a few hundred copies. That would be great.
I think not only would that be great, but I think people who pick it up for Mike's art and enjoy it should write into the editors and, you know, directly attribute that jump in sales to Mike, or that at least that their jump in sales, you know, whoever gets it because of that. You know, I think, you know, voting with your wallet is a good thing, but sending in a very clear ballot of, hey, I got it because, is an even better thing. Really, that's probably the best thing to leave off with, I think, you know.
Oh, okay.
You can't beat Mike Norton.
No, you can't.
Nope.
Why would you want to?
Yeah.
He's such a nice guy.
Yes. Well,
plus, you could get arrested for beating him. Yeah. And that, you know.
And he's a big guy.
Yeah, he's a big guy. Yeah. I don't know. That'd be a little rough.
All right, John. As always, it's a pleasure.
Yeah.
And we'll be hearing from you, I guess, sometime soon with Chris from Collected Comics Library going over the trades.
Yep, that's the plan.
Excellent.
Cool.
Well, have a good night, and we'll see you on the forums.
Sounds good.
All right, John.
All right.
Take it easy.
Thanks,
bye-bye.
John.
And that wraps up this syndicated episode of the Comic Book Page podcast. My name is John Mayo, and I've been your host. If you have any questions or comments, my email address is podcast@comicbookpage.com. Thanks for listening.